Jean Grey, Part 1 of 2, from Wikipedia, the Free Encyclopedia, http://en.wikipedia.org. Jean Grey, originally codenamed Marvel Girl, and later Phoenix, is a Marvel Comics superhero, best known as a member of the X-Men. Created by writer Stan Lee and artist/co-writer Jack Kirby, she first appeared in X-Men No. 1. Jean Grey is a mutant born with vast telepathic and telekinetic powers. She is a caring, nurturing figure, but also must deal with being an Omega-level mutant and frequent host of the cosmic Phoenix Force. She has seemingly died several times in the history of the series, such as the classic Dark Phoenix saga, but due to her connection with the Phoenix Force, she, as her namesake implies, always rises from death. Jean was the last of the original X-Men, and an important figure in the lives of Professor X, Wolverine, and eventual husband Cyclops. She has had a consistent presence in X-Men-related comics throughout the years, and was featured in both X-Men animated series and several video games. Jean Grey is portrayed by Famke Janssen in all three X-Men films. Most recently, Jean Grey was killed at the hands of Zorn, in the guise of Magneto, during Grant Morrison's New X-Men run. Afterwards, she was revived in the miniseries Phoenix and Song, and has left current continuity, so for all intents and purposes, can be considered active, although in unseen ways. Scott Summers, her husband, is currently the headmaster at Xavier School, and is romantically involved with her rival Emma Frost. Section 1. Character History. Subsection 1.1. Origin. Jean Grey was born to Dr. John Grey and Elaine Grey. She had an older sister named Sarah Grey, and they lived in Annandale-on-Hudson, New York, where Dr. Grey worked as a history professor at Bard College. Her father, mother, and sister were all humans, but Jean turned out to be a mutant. Jean's mutant psionic powers first manifested at the age of 10. They were prematurely triggered when her best friend, Annie Richardson, was hit by a car. As Annie lay dying, Jean instinctively linked to her mind, and the trauma of experiencing her friend's death nearly killed Jean as well. The incident left Jean in a coma. For 3 years, her parents sought the expertise of specialists to rouse Jean out of her catatonic state, but only one, Professor Charles Xavier, was able to help. One day, while they were training on the astral plane, Jean was able to sense a presence that Xavier was not able to detect. An aspect of Jean's subconscious mind manifesting as a phoenix in the form of young Jean in a golden glow with the phoenix raptor effect reached out to this presence and briefly touched the mind of young Scott Summers, who was then living in an orphanage. Xavier realized that Jean's young mind could not cope with her telepathy yet, so he decided to mentally block her access to this ability, allowing it to evolve at the natural pace it would have, save for Annie's tragic death. Even though Jean continued living with her parents until she was a teenager, she had many training sessions with Xavier. Jean Grey would develop her power of telekinesis at the age of 13. When she became a teenager, she left her parents and began attending Xavier's School for Gifted Youngsters, and became the first of the female X-Men under the name of Marvel Girl. Although it had been stated early on that Jean could only use her telekinesis to lift an equivalent weight to what she could lift physically, Jean was shown levitating the beast and guiding streaming missiles into the bay in her very first mission. Subsection 1.2. Romance. Jean and Scott both had a crush on each other, but neither were aware of the other's feelings, and both were too shy to make a move. Cyclops thought his optic blast could severely hurt her, or anyone that he cared about for that matter. He also felt that he was no match for Warren, whom he thought Jean was dating at the time. Jean once had a date with Warren, but insisted on taking Scott along, which confused and frustrated both men. When Jean left to pursue tertiary education at Metro College, it further served to widen the gap between Scott and Jean. Warren decided that Jean was not actually interested in him, and started a relationship with his old friend, Candace Candy Southern. Jean and Scott later admitted they were in love with each other, and started dating openly. Jean also felt drawn to Logan, who was in love with her, but Logan came to respect Jean's relationship with Scott. Towards the end, they shared a deep friendship, although Wolverine continued to make sexual comments towards her in private. Ultimately, Scott seems to be the love of Jean's life. It is a little known fact that Professor X and Jean Grey seem to have some romantic feelings for each other in the beginning of the X-Men series. However, she doesn't think he could care for her, because she's only a young girl. He believes that she could not care for him, because he is a paraplegic. This part of the storyline seems to have soon been abandoned, as Jean later developed feelings for Scott. Subsection 1.3. Leave of Absence. Requiring seclusion while he prepared to deal with a forthcoming invasion of Earth by the alien Xenox, Xavier had the mutant Changeling impersonate him in order to supervise the X-Men in Xavier's absence, telling only Jean of his plan and swearing her to secrecy. However, the Changeling, as Xavier, died heroically in action, and Xavier felt obliged to continue the pretense of his death. Fred Duncan, the X-Men's FBI liaison, considered the United Team to present an easy target for, quote, the ever-growing population of evil mutants, end quote, and felt the X-Men would be more effective acting as individuals and spread across the United States. At the same time, Professor X's will confirmed that his estate would serve as a charitable trust, with each of the 5 active X-Men a trustee, to ensure that they would need to stay in contact with each other. Jean and Scott remained in New York, while Hank and Bobby relocated to California. Warren remained mobile across the United States. Jean later completed her college education and found employment as a model. Her first assignments were swimsuit presentations. At this time, Jean was introduced to Lorna Dane, also known as Polaris, and they soon became friends. Jean was also introduced to Alexander Alex Summers, Scott's younger brother, who was just graduating from college. He would soon serve with the X-Men as Havoc. Xavier was revealed to the others to be alive, as he helped them defeat the Xenox. Later, the Fantastic Four would team up with the X-Men to have a final encounter with the Xenox, hoping to eliminate their bid for the Earth. While flying in space, Jean Grey had a brief, subconscious encounter with the Phoenix. Subsection 1.4. Phoenix. Many months later, after Xavier had recruited a new team of X-Men to help save the others from Krakoa, most senior members left, as did Jean, who involuntarily found herself attracted to new member Wolverine. Cyclops, however, refused to leave, feeling that he would be incapable of leading a normal life due to the uncontrollable nature of his powers. He felt that he belonged only with the X-Men, which upset Jean. She still remained in contact with the X-Men and became good friends with one of her new teammates, Aurora Monroe, aka Storm. Sometime after this, Shi'ar agent Devon Shikari, in the guise of Eric the Red, appeared, charged with the mission of killing Professor Xavier in order to prevent him from coming into contact with an alien refugee, who would later be revealed as Lalandra, to whom Xavier's mind had been connected. He brainwashed Havok and Polaris into serving him to accomplish this, but was thwarted by the X-Men. Weeks later, while Jean was having a romantic evening in Manhattan with Scott, she, along with Wolverine and Banshee, were abducted by Sentinels. They were taken to an abandoned SHIELD orbital platform under the command of the anti-mutant activist Stephen Lang, who was plotting to unleash a new generation of Sentinels modeled after the X-Men themselves. The other X-Men came and rescued the three from Lang. During the destruction of the space station, the X-Men and one of Lang's captives, Dr. Peter Corbeau, who had also helped the X-Men reach the station to begin with, found themselves in a perilous situation. The shuttle they had arrived in had been damaged in an earlier fight with the Sentinels, leaving the hull exposed and the autopilot completely destroyed. Compounding the problem was the impending threat of a gigantic solar flare, as well as one of the worst solar storms in history. A decision was made that someone would have to stay at the controls and pilot the ship, while everyone else would remain in the shuttle's heavily shielded life cell. Knowing nobody else had a chance of surviving long enough to pilot the ship to safety, Jean used her telepathy to absorb Dr. Corbeau's piloting knowledge, and planned to use her telekinetic powers to screen out the radiation as she piloted the ship back to Earth. Cyclops, who had attempted to stop her, was knocked out by Jean's mental bolt and carried into the life cell by Banshee. Jean valiantly piloted the ship until her telekinetic shield started to give way under the onslaught of the intense radiation. The strain of holding the solar radiation at bay with her powers had destroyed the psychic shields Xavier had placed in her mind as a child. In order to save the lives of her friends, her beloved Scott, and herself, Jean achieved her full potential at the Scott, becoming briefly a being of pure thought before reforming herself as the Phoenix. The shuttle crashed into Jamaica Bay. Jean emerged from its remnants, imbued with vast cosmic powers, announcing,
"Phoenix, no longer am I the loving Union. I am fire and light incarnate. Now and forever, I am Phoenix."
It was later revealed that Jean's original body was actually placed in a healing cocoon in the depths of Jamaica Bay, and the Phoenix Force helped Jean psionically clone a new body using her genetic template, and then transferred almost all of Jean's mind and soul, save for a few fragments of her spirit which refused to leave Jean's original body, into the cosmically created clone's body. It was the stubborn soul fragments which prompted Phoenix to place her old body in the healing cocoon, as she could not bear to extinguish their spark. Because the Phoenix Force replicated Jean's body so perfectly, and because Phoenix had transferred Jean's mind and soul to her new body, not even Professor X could detect the difference between Jean and the Phoenix. As Phoenix, Jean's psi powers became stronger and stronger, backed by the power of the sun itself. She began to manifest a fiery, bird-shaped energy aura whenever she used her powers to their fullest extent. The Phoenix continued Jean's relationship with Cyclops. Later, after having her mind tampered by Mastermind, she lost control of her powers and became the Dark Phoenix, attacking her friends and teammates, and destroying the Dabari Star. Jean was able to regain her sanity long enough to commit suicide in the blue area of the moon, rather than risk becoming the Dark Phoenix again and killing anyone else. The Dark Phoenix Saga, a lengthy story of the decline and fall of Phoenix by Chris Claremont and John Byrne, is regarded as one of the best comic stories of the era, and ultimately established the X-Men title as one of the best-selling. Jean Grey would wake up in the afterlife. Later, continuity would name it the White Hot Room. She found herself on top of a tower floating in a space-like realm, wearing a white version of her Dark Phoenix outfit. She was greeted by Death, in the form of a cosmic construction worker. Death allowed Jean to build onto his tower. Jean discovered that she was building the towers for her victims as Dark Phoenix, and was made to relive the deaths of the Dabari. Death explained to Jean that it was her destiny to become Phoenix. Jean is an avatar of the Phoenix, due to her spirit being most closely carved from it. Jean questions why didn't the Phoenix leave her when all was said and done. Death tells her that she is where the Phoenix came from. Death says that she wasn't far wrong when she thought it was a figment of her imagination. The Phoenix, he tells her, is the sum and substance of all that lives, and is not a being nor an entity, but only a force. Death tells Jean Grey that her unique ability is to be the one to wield the power. He tells her that it belongs to her in the same fashion that the sword Excalibur belonged to King Arthur, and that it would come to her children. In the end, Jean Grey is sent back to life, and her soul is returned to her original body in the cocoon, which is almost fully healed. But the fragment of Jean's soul that remained in her original radiation-poisoned body rejected the memories of the Dark Phoenix. So those memories were accidentally transferred to the Madeline Pryor clone. For now, Death says, she will not remember what she has learned. Subsection 1.5, Phoenix, the Untold Story. Originally, Jean was to survive the Dark Phoenix saga, but editorial concerns led to a rewrite of the ending of Uncanny X-Men issue 137. The original ending, as well as an explanation for the changes, was published in the one-shot Phoenix, the Untold Story. In the original ending, instead of turning into Phoenix again during the X-Men's battle with the Shi'ar Imperial Guard, Jean is overpowered and captured. Lalandra has Jean subjected to what amounts to a psychic lobotomy, leaving Jean without any of her telepathic or telekinetic powers. In the end, Jean is allowed to return to Earth with the rest of the X-Men, cured of the power and madness of Dark Phoenix. The one-shot also revealed the original splash page drawn for Uncanny X-Men 138, which would have shown Jean and Scott in a happier time, contrasted with the splash page actually published in issue 138, showing Jean's funeral. The reason for Phoenix's fate changing at this time was an editorial one. John Byrne, penciler on Uncanny X-Men, had strong feelings against how overpowered Phoenix had become, and working with writer Chris Claremont, they devised a way to effectively remove Phoenix from the storyline, initially by removing her powers. However, Byrne's decision to have Dark Phoenix destroy an inhabited solar system in Uncanny X-Men 135 caused some consternation with the editors, notably then-editor-in-chief Jim Shooter. They felt that since Jean as Dark Phoenix had now become a mass murderer on a global scale, her punishment at the end of issue 137 was now deemed too light. As a result, the last chapter of issue 137 was completely rewritten, with Phoenix's powers returning and escalating out of control, forcing her to end her own life, rather than risk destroying any more worlds. Subsection 1.6, Return. The Avengers had detected unusual energy readings at the bottom of Jamaica Bay and sent Prince Namor to investigate. He found a strange pod lying on the bottom of the bay. The Avengers sent the pod to the lab of Reed Richards, the leader of the Fantastic Four. During Richards' analysis, the pod cracked open and Jean emerged. Jean, seeing differences between the members of the Fantastic Four she knew versus the ones before her, attacked them. They eventually convinced Jean to calm down. Jean had no memories from the time she flew the shuttle until she hatched from the cocoon. Unfortunately, due to the technology Reed used to hatch her, she was now without her telepathy, but as a side effect, the power of her telekinesis had increased dramatically. Also, a large portion of Jean's Phoenix powers had left her while she was healing and merged with Jean's future daughter, Rachel Summers, who had assumed the mantle of Phoenix in Jean's absence. Jean would later go to her home and touch a hollow alchemical crystal that the Shi'ar had made and given to her parents after Dark Phoenix died. Once Jean touched the crystal, she relived the experience between her and the Phoenix on the shuttle. The former members of the X-Men were contacted, and she reunited with most of them. Cyclops, in the meantime, had moved to Alaska to be near his grandparents and met a pilot named Madeline Pryor, the clone of Jean Grey. They married, producing a son, Nathan Christopher Charles Summers. When Scott heard Jean was alive, he left Pryor to see for himself that Jean was alive. Shortly afterwards, he joined Jean and the other founding X-Men to create X-Factor. He called Madeline to try to persuade her and their son to come to New York. When he received no answer, he assumed that his wife had left him. In truth, Madeline and their son had been kidnapped by the villain, Mr. Sinister. It is revealed that Mr. Sinister had created Madeline from the DNA of Jean Grey. His clone was perfect, except that she did not become conscious until the Phoenix's death on the moon sparked the clone's mind. He thought the offspring of Jean Grey and Scott Summers would be a genetically superior mutant who possessed incredible powers. With her purpose fulfilled, he turned Madeline over to the Marauders to dispose of. She was then rescued by the X-Men and joined them, where she was presumably killed in Dallas, defeating the adversary. Roma, the Celestial Guardian, resurrected Madeline and the X-Men. Wanting to rescue her son from Mr. Sinister, Madeline made a pact with the demons, Sin, and later N'Astrith from Limbo. The goblins used her despair to make her the Goblin Queen. Because of her deep mental depression from before, the transformation drove her over the edge. Deciding to use her newly recovered son, Madeline attempted to sacrifice him in a ritual that would bring the demons of Limbo into our reality and thus bring about a permanent inferno. The joined forces of the X-Men and X-Factor fought the Goblin Queen. Madeline died in a climactic battle with Jean after she linked their minds together and killed herself, hoping the link would kill Jean as well. Fortunately, it didn't, as a small amount of the Phoenix Force that Jean still retained awoke and helped her separate from Madeline. However, Jean gained all the memories of Madeline and the Dark Phoenix. Later, Jean expelled the personas of Madeline and Dark Phoenix, but kept the residual memories. As a result, Cyclops and Grey were able to resume their relationship and eventually married. During their honeymoon, they were taken into the future to raise the baby Cable during the Adventures of Cyclops and Phoenix miniseries. Shortly after returning, she resumed using the name Phoenix as an attempt to redeem both the entity and herself in her mind, and also to honor her daughter, Rachel, who had been announced dead. Eventually, the X-Men find themselves fighting Apocalypse, who has a list of the 12 most powerful mutants on Earth. The list of the 12 had both Phoenix and Cyclops on it. They decided to help the X-Men in this turning point battle. In the end, Cyclops apparently perished as he merged with the villain Apocalypse. During this time, Phoenix and Psylocke switched powers, with Jean adding Psylocke's shadowy telepathic powers to her own telepathy while losing her telekinetic powers to Psylocke. Phoenix had to deal with having to rely on her fighting skills to handle enemies who were immune to telepathy, and began manifesting fiery raptor effects as a physical manifestation of her powers. Later, Prosh would recruit Phoenix along with Mystique, Juggernaut, Iceman, and Toad for a special mission. During this mission, the X-Men would relive key events in their past. Jean would relive her experience as Dark Phoenix in the afterlife, as well as learn that Xavier knew all along that she was an Omega-level mutant and the most powerful entity in the Marvel Universe. Jean would also reawaken the Phoenix Force to talk to and touch Eternity so that she and the others could defeat the Stranger, as shown in X-Men Forever. Soon after, Jean learned that Cyclops was alive, so she began a search for her lost husband with her son Cable. They found him, and Jean used her newly increased telepathic powers to separate Cyclops from Apocalypse's spirit. Having her husband back gave Jean the strength to accept her role as host of the Phoenix Force and access the telekinetic powers it had recreated for her. Subsection 1.7, Marital Problems. A combination of Jean's new duties as headmistress, her re-emerging Phoenix powers, and Scott's temporary merger with the evil mutant Apocalypse drove a wedge between the couple. Scott and Jean started to have marital problems. Jean had attempted time and again to rebuild their relationship, but Scott remained constantly distant, refusing to even speak with her. The one time that Scott did speak, he attempted to explain to Jean about his feelings of dissatisfaction with his own personality after being possessed by Apocalypse. Their relationship became further strained when Jean began showing signs of the Phoenix Force, which Cyclops thought would lead to another disaster, though he made little effort to aid Jean. Scott eventually turned to Emma Frost to talk. Emma took advantage of Scott's emotional problems, which led to a telepathic extramarital affair, which Jean eventually uncovered. When confronted by Jean, Scott claimed that they had shared only thoughts and that he had done nothing wrong. Jean, however, disagreed and demanded that Emma explain herself. Emma, who only jeered and insulted Jean, forced the Phoenix host to telepathically delve into her past and uncover the truth that Emma herself did her best to deny. Scott, meanwhile, had run away, unable to face his wife or his fellow X-Men in light of his transgressions. Later, while dealing with internal strife, which eventually turned out to be the work of Zorn, Wolverine and Phoenix were propelled towards the sun while on Asteroid M. About to die, Wolverine reluctantly stabbed Phoenix, so she would not have to die in the intense solar heat. Seconds before they were to collide with the sun, however, the Phoenix Force fully manifested within Jean, and she saved them both. She tells them that by killing her, he helped her release the Phoenix consciousness. Arriving back on Earth, they encounter Magneto, who mortally injures Phoenix by transferring a large amount of electromagnetic energy to her brain, inducing a planetary-scale stroke. As Phoenix died in Scott's arms, she told him to live. End of part 1. This sound file and all text in the article are licensed under the GNU Free Documentation License, available at www.gnu.org/copyleft/fdl.html.